Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county. From another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around, put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What? Come on.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. Boy, this has been some trip. We've been coming to you for 17 years, and this is unbelievable. We started in 2008 with George Archie Childs, who started the show, and Archie passed away in 2008, and we got the show 2 weeks later. So my hat's off to George Archie Childs, who was also a member of the Lorden Inner Voices, one of my outstanding actors. So we're coming to you this morning from our house. We've been Zooming from our residence, our place of residency. October London, from our place of residence. Good morning. We open up with what we call the grapevine. The grapevine is information that you can use. The grapevine here on Crossroads. Protecting federal prisons from shutdown benefits all of us. As the federal budget impasse wears on, Bureau of Prisons employees and programs are being further squeezed following a year of hiring freezes and critical vacancies going unfulfilled. In the days since the congressional budget impasse caused a federal government shutdown, public attention has largely focused on high-profile impacts like employee furloughs, air travel delays, and closures at national parks and other institutions. But countless other consequences are emerging beyond the public eye. Within federal agencies with critical missions, one is the Bureau of Prisons. The shutdown has forced the BOP and the Associate Justice Department agencies into a triage mode, creating a cascade of disruptions that threaten serious repercussions for incarcerated people, staff, and public safety. Housing more than 150,000 people in 122 correction facilities across the nation, the BOP is not just responsible for safety behind bars, but also with delivering rehabilitation programs and supporting successful reentry into society. When BOP operations are interrupted, the impact extends outside prison walls, affecting the well-being of families, communities, and a broader promise of improving the federal correctional system. Home confinement and halfway houses transfer, as well as reentry support, are also at risk. And while criminal courts and federal probation officers remain open, mental health and substance use treatment programs operated by federal contractors face likely interruptions unless providers are willing to temporarily forego their salary. U.S. judge extends blocks on Trump's bid to eliminate Job Corps program. June 25th, a U.S. judge on Wednesday blocked President Donald Trump's administration from shutting down Job Corps, a major residential job training program for low-income youth. The U.S. District Judge in Manhattan said the abrupt shuttering of the 60-year-old program by the U.S. Department of Labor without authorization from Congress was likely illegal. They said in a statement that the decision was a lifeline for the tens of thousands of young people whose futures depended on the training, support, and opportunities that Job Corps provides. Job Corps was created by Congress in 1964 and allowed people aged 16 to 24 from disadvantaged backgrounds to obtain high school diplomas or an equivalent vocational certificates and licenses and on-the-job training. The program currently serves about 25,000 people at 120 Job Corps centers across the country and has a budget of $1.7 billion. The Labor Department announced the end of the program in May, saying it was not cost effective, but had a low graduation rate. It was not doing participants, not putting participants in stable jobs. Other plaintiffs claim that the Labor Department does not have the power to dismantle a program established and funded by Congress. Federal law allows the department to close individual Job Corps centers only after seeking public comment and notifying local members of Congress, according to the suit. And here's a positive story. A Pennsylvania ex-con, 27, who's been jailed three times, turns over a new leaf to become the state's youngest ever judge. A Pennsylvania man who has been jailed three times turned over a new leaf to become the state's youngest judge at the age of 27. Hanif Johnson, a student at Penn State University in 2012, once walked into a courtroom in shackles and handcuffs for a hearing on charges of simple assault, conspiracy, and harassment. 12 years later, Johnson found himself sitting on the bench as the youngest judge ever elected in the state of Pennsylvania. In 2017, he defeated a Republican candidate with 73% of the vote to win the election for the Dauphin Magistrate District. Reflecting on his troubled teenage years, he wrote on social media, "The chance of losing my freedom and also all work I did to stay out of trouble, that's a huge reason I have an open mind." Oh, my boy. Johnson's mother was an addict. His dad was an addict. His grandmother was an addict. His aunt was an addict. His uncle was an addict. His grandfather was an addict. My entire immediate family was all addicts. And one day he decided this ain't the way he wanted to live. And he went to law school and got his life together. So he's the youngest judge, a convicted felon as a judge in the Pennsylvania state court system. Hats off to him. Also, how Trump's Medicaid cuts will slash health coverage for people leaving prison. The massive cuts will hit the formerly incarcerated hard, and that could increase crime, experts warn. Excuse me. Over the past 15 years, formerly incarcerated people have greatly benefited from expansions to Medicaid health care coverage. Those gains are now at risk in the face of an estimated $1 trillion in federal spending cuts outlined in President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Experts who spoke to the Marshall Project warned that the law's coverage would lead to unnecessary deaths and further potential crimes. Medicaid coverage is especially important for people's post-release because incarceration can wreck their health. One long-term study that investigated the mortality consequences of incarceration using national data found that imprisonment decreased the life expectancy of a 45-year-old person by 15%. The systems are not really set up to be healthcare systems. And before pointing to the conditions often found in jails and prisons, such as overcrowding, inadequate treatment for chronic diseases, mental health, and opiate use disorder, the poor health that people develop on the inside follows them when they get out and can worsen as they struggle to obtain better medical care. What's behind the execution surge of 2025? States have executed 30 people this year, already the highest annual toll in more than a decade. In Joe Biden's final days as president, he landed a quiet political blow against Donald Trump by commuting the sentences of 37 people on federal death row. Trump had said he wanted to carry out as many executions as possible. Biden deprived him of that chance. So it is all the more surprising that Trump's first year in office is seeing a noticeable surge in executions nationwide. 10 states have executed 30 people since January, according to the Death Penalty Information Center. That's already the highest total in more than a decade, with 13 more executions planned all the way up to December. And that has been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Crossroads. Crossroads is broadcasting nationally and internationally. And last week we had a guest call in from Jerusalem talking about the Palestinian issue. Our show now goes all around the world. So we have an unlimited audience, and the criminal justice system impacts all of us. And that spin will be called the grapevine. And thank you for tuning in. And good morning to our distinguished co-host, Nikisha Taifa, my beautiful wife, Martine. And of course, I'm your little regular good buddy that sits here every Tuesday and just try to nitpick on a few things. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Nikisha.
Good morning, Roach Brown and Martine. How are you all doing today, this day after Indigenous Peoples Day?
Oh, we're doing fine. And we have a show that's been getting a lot of exposure because, like late Congressman John Lewis said, we got to do some good trouble. There's so much stuff happening, like the stuff we talked about on the grapevine and what's going on all around this country. Folk, we have to do something. You just can't sit in your house and sit on your couch and do some good trouble. Get involved. And we got two guests this morning who's stirring up the pot, mixing the stew up, and making sure that we can get involved. Our first guest is Reverend Willie Wilson. We're waiting on Reverend Willie Wilson to join us from Union Temple Baptist Church. But also we have Calvin Hawkins, Prince George's County Councilman at large, Calvin S. Hawkins. And he's planning a big event this Saturday on the same day as Reverend Willie Wilson on the 18th. In fact, all over the country, from New Orleans to Boston to California to New York and Cincinnati, people have been calling in, doing something in memory of the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March, but also doing some good trouble, doing whatever they can do to make their voices heard. Because as my wife always say, Albert Einstein said, you want to give it to him, baby?
Yes. Albert Einstein said, it's not the evil that will destroy us.
Go ahead. I got it. Go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Albert Einstein said, it's not the evil that will destroy us, but those of us who sit around and do nothing about it.
So that's it. We got to do something, folks. So this show this morning has been getting quite a bit of exposure all in this area, the DMV. There's the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March, the state of Black America, where we were, where we are, and where are we going. And it's coordinated by Councilmember Calvin Hawkins and Daryl Bonds. And these two gentlemen are in PG County, which is adjacent to Washington, D.C. In fact, PG County has been called Ward 9 because a lot of D.C. residents have been forced out of the district due to gentrification and the high cost of rent and et cetera. So these gentlemen, Calvin Hawkins and Reverend Willie Wilson, are doing something. They are guys that we know that always got something going on, and they're concerned about what happens to us. Are you with us this morning, Calvin? Well, we're waiting on both our guests to zoom in. All right, Nikisha, it's you and I until our guests call in. Come on, lady.
All right. Well, you know, 30 years ago, I remember the Million Man March vividly. My daddy went down there with Babu Orefo. They were both elders, you know, at the time. But during that time, I was teaching at Howard University School of Law. And what we did there was we organized trainings, legal observer trainings amongst the students for the Million Man March. And there was not one incident, not one negative incident that happened at the Million Man March. And I'd like to attest that some of that was also due to the fact of the high level of organization of the march itself, and the fact that there were, in fact, legal observers. Most of them, believe it or not, were women law students who wanted to be a part of and support the Million Man March in whatever way that they could. And they did it by virtue of their, legal skills. So there were a lot of students. One student in particular, a male, even tells me to this day that Million Man March and the role that he was able to play as a legal observer just led to so many tremendous opportunities to him later on as he became a lawyer. So It was, you know, just a time for everything and for everybody. And I also remember that was during the time when the crime bill of 1994 was being discussed and debated in Congress. And there was an opportunity to do something about that that didn't not quite happen. So anyway, so good times, and there's some negative reflections in terms of policy that should have been forthcoming from the administration during that time 30 years ago.
I agree with you, Nikichi. In fact, I was hoping that something equivalent to the Million Man March will be organized or galvanized across the country and nationally, because people all across the country are celebrating the 30-year anniversary of the Million Man March. I was down there, and I helped work with, we had a good friend of ours who committed suicide, Terrence Johnson, a young man who went to jail as a juvenile and got sentenced to a long bit.
He was 16 years old when he was falsely arrested. Well, whatever.
And Terrence worked with us, and we had the returning citizens coming down George Avenue, 7th Street, to join up with the large body of folk. And I stopped and sit on the sidewalk, and they had tears in my eyes, Nikichi. I'd never seen that many black men together in one place. And it looked so familiar. I looked at the guy, a guy was sitting up in the tree. I said, "Man, there's Porkchop. What you doing up?" He said, my name ain't Porkchop. I said, "Jack, you got a twin here in D.C. that looks just like you." And we saw so many brothers, and did nobody, was no cursing, no profanity, nobody being disrespectful, nobody got arrested. I've never seen that many of us together with a peaceful agenda, and everybody was respectful and on their best behavior. We need a 5 million man a march, or a 10 million family march. We need a family march that we need to work to let the folks know that we're not satisfied with how we're being treated, and we're being pushed not to the back of the bus, we're being pushed off the bus. You know what I mean?
Well, so, what about our guest is on, just one, not quite sure if you see, I just want to make sure you know
which Calvin one is Hawkins. It? Come on.
Calvin Hawkins.
Good morning, Calvin Hawkins.
You're
good morning.
Mute.
Hey.
Good morning, Roach. How are you?
Good morning, Calvin. And man, I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing, the Prince George's County 30th anniversary of Million Man March in the state of Black America on this Saturday, the 18th, from 8 to 2. And this will be held at Fairmount Heights High School Auditorium, 6501 Columbia Park Road in Landover, at the Fairmount Heights Auditorium. Good morning, Calvin. I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing on the 18th to wake our people up, man, to show them that we need to get involved and do some good trouble.
Yeah, hey, bro, we're going to start over there, but we're going to end up over in Southeast with President Willie Wilson, because that's the epic center of all of this. And we're going to be over there. We're going to start. I mean, I'm going to go to Fairmount Heights because, of course, I'm a part of that. But I'm going to be at the epic center in Southeast where it all started, where it all came together 30 years ago. Just want to be a part of that significant moment. I heard you speak about the brother Terrence Johnson and how the number of returning citizens and ex-offenders were involved in the march 30 years ago. And that's what I shared. That was the part. I'm not as a professional working with an elected official, but as someone who had been incarcerated, to have that moment to see over 2 million black men, women, children together doing some peaceful stuff, dealing with atonement. So I'm grateful that we're at this moment now.
I'm glad you said that. I don't know if you heard the grapevine. We talked about this young brother named Hanif Johnson, who was locked up three times. Now he's a district court judge in Pennsylvania. You're a returning citizen. You're a city councilman. So, folk, you can accomplish whatever you set your mind to. Calvin is on the city council. He was incarcerated with the justice system. And this, he has a young 27-year-old ex-con who is now a judge. And he's been jailed three times. So, for folks who are listening, you can do and be anything you set your mind to. The only person that can stop you is you. And if Calvin can get to be on the city council and he's running for higher offices, I can bet you he's running for higher offices. But hey, and I think he's going to get it, and we got the support all across the city. It's been told to me yesterday, Calvin, that we got over 80,000 returning citizens in Washington, D.C. The number is higher than that. And when you factor in that all the people from D.C., they moved to Maryland in P.G. County, we got in excess of 150,000 more of folks with criminal records that need to get involved. Why are you doing what you're doing with this Million Man Anniversary? And right now, just joining us is Reverend Willie Wilson. Good morning, Reverend Wilson.
Good morning, Rose. How you doing? How you both?
How you doing there? All right, Calvin, what would you say? Why are you doing what you're doing, Calvin Hawkins?
Oh, 30 years ago, I was inspired, like I said, to get involved. And there were individuals who didn't have to bring me along, give me an opportunity as an ex-offender, but they did. And the benefits and the opportunities I've had, I have a responsibility to reach back, help others, men and women who are struggling with the changes and challenges of life. And this 30 years, as Reverend Wilson say, we are in the spirit of what occurred 30 years ago. So knowing that I'm dealing with the spirit of what happened 30 years ago, I'm more committed than ever, Roach, with working with individuals like you, because when you talk about over 150,000 returning citizens who live in this very DMV, someone that has done it in the past can do it now to help us elevate the men and women to get involved and continue to work with our leaders like Reverend Willie Wilson, the Minister Louis Farrakhan. We can do this.
And yes, we can.
Like you and I supporting what Reverend Wilson and Minister Farrakhan have put in place, we can do it again.
You know, we just got a phone call about an hour ago. It's unbelievable, Reb. Well, last week we had a young lady on from Jerusalem. She's an attorney and a Palestinian. And she wanted to know, can we include the Palestinian issue in what we're doing? And as we said last week, Nelson Mandela came out and he said one of his biggest supporters was the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization, with Yasser Arafat. And they told Mandela, why are you working or supporting Yasser Arafat? And Nelson Mandela said, your enemies are not my enemies. And Mandela said that all the while he was in, they had the support of the Palestinians. So people, what's happened to the Palestinians has happened to us here in America with the Ku Klux Klan, the Jim Crow Act, and all them kind of things. So they're going through the same thing. And they wanted to know, can we include them or mention them in our program? And I said, yes, pass information on. That's unbelievable. She called in from Jerusalem, the Holy Land. So, folks, she is aware of it. They're aware of what you're doing here in D.C. and in P.G. County. And they wanted to make sure that we, Calvin and Reverend Wilson, we mentioned the Palestinian Liberation Organization and their fight for freedom, because they supported us during apartheid. And they're going through something that's worse than apartheid.
So absolutely.
All right. So, Reb, what is it? Why are you always on the front line? Man, I mean, I take my hat off to you. Every time I turn around, somebody doing something for our community, and who else see is in the front line is Reverend Willie Wilson, and then jumping and close behind him is Calvin Hawkins. You two guys are something, man. Give it to us, Reb. Why are you doing what you're doing?
Well, we three guys are something, Roach. We've been doing this a long time. It goes back, I don't know how long.
1968.
But, you know, I will definitely make a note to mention our brothers and sisters in Gaza Strip. In fact, I did two broadcasts yesterday, and I mentioned them in both. 67,000 men, women, and children murdered, a genocide, and the President of the United States gloating like they have done something righteous and good by destroying those people. So we will definitely mention that. It's all one struggle, one fight for freedom and justice in the world, on the planet. So, you know, our coming together on Saturday and again on Thursday night, we are trying to reignite the fire of the spirit of the Million Man March. Someone asked me on the broadcast yesterday, do we need another Million Man March? I told them absolutely not. What we need is the spirit of the Million Man March, where as well as with UNIFEST, because both of these iconic legacies brought together our people in peace, harmony, love, unity, and community. So if we can grasp that spirit again, we can revive our community, because, you know, we're looking at the results, Roach, of 50 years after crack cocaine, 50 years after mass incarceration, and 70 years after integration, where there was a total devastation of our community. Dr. Francis Wellson said it very well. When you take one man out of the community, you are hurting that community. When you talk about hundreds of thousands, you know the stats from 1970, when there were 300,000 incarcerated, now 2.3 million, most of them black and brown. And so our community has been devastated. And so this is an effort to revive our community at a time when there's little hope, when people are losing their jobs, when so much is going on. We got to reignite that spirit, give our people some hope. And we think this effort will do that. We're going to have some after-event activities. We're working right now to organize so that we got pretty much every organization you can name on this program. Somebody asked me, why you got so many people on the program? I said, because it takes all of us to do what we got to do.
There you go. There you go.
Bring our community together.
Calvin, let me ask you this. What's your purpose with PG County, the 30th anniversary Million Man March in the state of Black America? What is the state of Black America from your point of view over in PG County, Calvin?
We have the influence. We have the elected positions. We have some significant business representations who look like us. And you all know all of what's happened in Prince George's County, whether we want to give credit to him or not. The late Mayor Marion Barry built Prince George's County.
He did.
Go ahead. I'm glad to hear that. Go ahead, Calvin.
New people don't understand the foundation for Prince George's County and his black middle class, upper class was because of Marion Barry. So we're doing it in that spirit, but what we were doing is just bringing the brothers and sisters together. As I said before Reverend Wilson came on, my goal is to go over there, speak. Then I'm going to be at the Epic Center. I'm going to be in Southeast D.C., where it really all originated, and I'm going to be a part of that. What we're doing, we're trying to wake these brothers up, get woke, because out here, these jokers think they arrived because they got 20 real big houses. So we got to let them know how we got here. And lastly, what I wanted to say, when you were talking about Nelson Mandela telling the individuals about the PLO and that they're not his enemy, they're supporting him. I was on an interview with Reverend Wilson, and he talked about that. I was always concerned and just amazed how the Baptist, Protestant, Christian, and Jews came together with Minister Farrakhan for the Million Man March. And when Reverend Wilson said he would go around and tell the Negro, well, tell the religious leaders, this is our brother, and to get them on board to show that we ended up having what we had 30 years ago. So it's just when you said about Mandela not taking the easy way out and say, I shouldn't have been involved with the Palestinians. It's like Reverend Wilson telling his colleagues in a private setting, no, man, we need Minister Farrakhan. He's our brother. So leaders stand up even in the privacy of their conversations with other leaders. And I just wanted to bring that up about Pastor Reverend Wilson as it relates to what you said, Roach, about Nelson Mandela.
You know, we've been meeting, Red, with Tyrone Park and them, and the returning citizens is a part of this 43rd UniFest Festival. There's several issues, and this applies to deep PG County, Baltimore, everywhere, all over the country. The attack on our youth, there's a massive attack from legislators all over the country to target black youth. And we know that black youth just need, when at the top of the show, we talk about they closing down Job Corps, the jobs that were provided in training for low-income youth. They're talking about increasing the penalty, bringing the death penalty back to Washington. So some of the things that we were asking for the human return of citizens to be included was family reunification. A lot of people come out of prison, and I'm included. I got three sons, and I got one that I'm not connected with at all. We don't have any way that if you do 20 or 30 years and come out of prison, how do you reconnect with your family? So then family reunification. So family, we need emergency assistance, housing, jobs. Reb and Calvin, we got what we call, we have the horses, but we don't have the resources. The president just spent $20 billion to Venezuela and spent $300 billion to Ukraine to fight the war in Russia. Give us the money, and I bet you we can reduce the crime and make them communities safe. Why are you going to spend thousands of people? And my wife just told me that last night, and it got me that.
Roach. Before Reverend Wilson and Calvin talk about these resources, let me just take a moment and talk about some resources for this radio show, WPFW. Yeah. I'm really so very excited that this is pitch and pledge time right now, particularly at this commemoration of the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. Just phenomenal. So this is the time. I mean, where else are you going to get broadcasting like that with veterans like Reverend Willie Wilson, like Calvin Hawkins, like Roach Brown, veterans right here on the broadcast, on the Broadways, talking about this. People, come on now. Come on, get those phones to ring at 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. We're talking about WPFW, inspiring music, inspiring memory, inspiring social justice. I love the music. I love the memory, particularly the memories that we're bringing forth now. And I just love the social justice. We're talking about WPFW, the soundtrack. The soundtrack for all of these positive memories and messages. So again, 202-588-9739, 1-800-222. Did I get 1-800-188? My brain is just gone dead. 222-9739. I hope that I got that right. I'm going, you know, folks, I can't believe it's been 17 years that Crossroads has been on these radio lines. We want to make sure we can continue it for 17 more years and for 30 more years and for 50 more years, but we can only do it with the support of the community. So come on, get those get those lines rocking and rolling so we can get back to this conversation. Reverend Wilson, I just remember when you came to D.C., when Union Temple was in that little red church long before he came to the great big conglomerate, beautiful masterpiece that it is now. You are a long time struggling. Roach, you are a long time. I mean, I'm just saying, folk, we need to contribute to those who have stood in the gap for us all of these years. So again, 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. I'm going to check the board for next time we come back to see who I can thank, who Roach can thank for helping to contribute to keep these radio lines live.
I'm glad you came in, Nikisha, because this is our fall drive, and we don't have commercial support to keep us on the air. Our support comes from you, the listener. So we request our listeners periodically to make a donation or contribution to the station. It's tax deductible. And those donations keep us on the air and the other programs, because nowhere in the world will you see or get this kind of freedom of news or information. We're not monitored or censored to the point where we can't say certain things. But I want to say to Calvin and to Reverend Willie Wilson, man, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Anybody that does anything to make things better for the next person, you're doing the Lord's work. When you do this for the least of those, you do it for me. And for both of y'all to do what you're doing, man, every week, Calvin, I get a fly from you. Oh, you here, you there, you're doing it in different programs. And you're all about uplifting, correcting, and unifying our community, man. And we need this. And I'm glad you say what you said, Reb, that we don't need the Million Man March. We need the spirit of the Million Man March. If everybody... Go ahead.
Let me add this. I want to thank Nikisha for that beautiful pitch that she just gave. She almost You make another contribution. I did it yesterday on Joni's show. Calvin did it yesterday on Joni's show. But I want to say to all the listeners out there, this is so important. We need a voice that is not hampered and limited. And we know that that comes from PFW. So I'm going to ask everybody who hasn't done anything, if you can't do but 25, you can't do but 50, do whatever you can do to keep this on the air. We know this station and all the public service of broadcasts are under attack right now. They're trying to eliminate all of y'all. So
that's right.
Make sure that the people understand. Roach, I want to say one thing about atonement, because that's a big part. You talked about your son, that you all are not connected. That's with a whole lot of people in our community, man. And one of the big aspects of what we're going to do on Saturday, we're going to make that call, man, for us to atone to each other. Because if we come together, there is nothing that we cannot do.
Yes,
we've shown that. 1995 showed us that we can come together in unity. Now, if we can replicate that and then back it up with efforts and some money, we understand right now that nobody of his minions going to give us a penny to do what we got for our community. But we got money. But we got to pull it together. We got to support each other. We got to work together. And if we do that, but it all starts with reconciliation and atonement. That word atonement, A-T means at, then you got O-N-E, one, and then you got meant, which is the process of becoming one. One with the Creator, and then secondly, one with each other. So I'm hoping your son will be out there Saturday. I'm hoping you and he can, whatever the gaps are, whatever the blocks are, that it can be broken down. And because you know me and you, we've been around here a long time, bro.
You know it.
You certainly don't want to go away from here with a gap between you and your son and vice versa for him.
Yeah.
So I hope that he is somewhere listening today and that he'll be out there. Minister Kadir is going to speak about the seven steps in atonement. And then I'm going to back it up with my remarks that hopefully we can bridge some gaps. You know, I got one brother working on this thing. This brother has talked against me and against the church and against everything. Somebody said, why you got him on the committee? I said, because that's what it's all about. And guess what? That brother has worked his tongue out trying to reconcile himself, because he knows he's out of order. And sometimes that's what it takes. But I'm hoping all the brothers, Roach, we got some guys out here who've been beefing. We talking about the beefs out in the street and the returning citizens among the anti-violence movements. We got brothers at each other's throat right in that we got to resolve, man, and come together so we can work together. Al-Malik Farrakhan's got an appreciation coming up. I think it's next week. I'm going to go out there, and he's done some great work. And we got to all come together, man, in oneness to make a difference in our community, because ain't nobody going to do it for us but us.
You know, Reb, Calvin, you got a thing on your thing on the Million Man March, the state of Black America. You're talking about solutions-oriented conversations. What kind of solutions are you looking for? Or have you ever heard that you got in already that we can consider or talk about and see how we can all jump in on it?
Two things. We want to just have a real conversation, not with the shirt and tie folk, but with those out in the street, those out doing the real work. Really, I want our politicians to listen to those who are doing the real work and leave there with some solutions. Like I told you, we have a bus that we're going to drive down Martin Luther King Avenue. We're going to park, and we're going to get down to Southeast where we have it, everything, to be a part of the Epic Center. But what I wanted to say, Roach, one of the solutions that I'm going to work with my council members on is getting strong Black men to identify and go into these schools. Last week when we were on an interview, and I hadn't thought about this, Reverend Wilson spoke about the high truancy and the low grades over at Anacostia High School and all these young kids not coming and all the educators and others, God bless their hearts, couldn't figure it out. Like, oh, just wrote them off. Reverend Willie Wilson said he told them, no, tell them to come this certain day. Tell them I'm going to be here. And he said every one of those students came to hear Reverend Willie Wilson. That's the kind of courage, that's the kind of commitment we got to have. We can't continue to rely on the system, if I can use that term, to take care of our young people who are out here struggling with the changes and challenges of life. When Reverend Wilson said that, a light bulb came on. Calvin Hawkins, you talking about what you can do 30 years later. The man just gave it to you. So that's what I'm going to do, Roach. And that's one of the things I'm going to push. Sir, look, we need men. You know, please don't take it the wrong way. We need men.
Yes. You know, one of the things, man, that gets me, all the men and women from PG County and D.C. to get arrested and going to the federal system. Everybody goes there since they closed down Lawton. We go there. But the minute the D.C. guy goes into the prison system, I don't care what part of the city you're from, the word to get out that a homeboy's here, even though they may have been beefing in the street. But when you go to prison, there's a camaraderie. There's a closeness. There's a togetherness. And them guys begin to mentor, aid, and assist the new guys that's coming in. If we can take that same camaraderie, that togetherness that's happening inside with D.C. prisoners and transport it out here, I keep saying, we got the horses. But we don't have the resources. We got men ready to stop. We can reduce the crime. You ain't got to send 20 million to Venezuela. We can send it right here. We know what needs to be done, but we just don't have the resources, and they're coming after our kids. And folk, please, they're talking about the death penalty for 14, 15-year-old kids. This is off the chain. So if we don't come together, go ahead. Go ahead, Nikichi.
No, I'm sorry. I just got to interrupt for 1 second. I'm so excited because we got some folks to thank that have kicked off this fundraising drive on Crossroads. We have Thomas and Asani saying, keep up the great programming. Oh, excuse me, my bad. That was anonymous. Okay, anonymous. Okay. We also have Catherine from Tacoma Park who says, love the work you do. More power to you and the community. Merry Christmas. You know, they have jumped this off. We have not too much, but a little bit more ways to go. Come on, pick up those phone lines and dial 202-588-9739 and 1-800-222-9739. We're talking about 30 years with respect to the Million Man March. That is sustaining. You can also be a sustaining contributor to PFW for only $10 or more a month. That will be deducted from your credit or your debit card. The cost of just one lunch a month. I mean, I'm just saying, we are sustaining the Million Man March for this 30 year anniversary. This sustained WPFW also, so it can also last another 30 years. Back to you, Roach.
Okay. All right. Huh? What'd you say? Oh, we got a caller on, Tyrone. We got a caller on. Let's take our first caller. Come on. You're on the air, please.
Yeah, Roach Brown.
Hey, Tyrone.
Bob Parker. The man and the message.
Boy, I'm telling you.
The man and the message in the mission.
In the mission, right.
This is an exciting call here in the spirit of the Million Man March. And I heard Reverend Wilson say when we went over Anacostia, and he spoke to the kids about who they were and what they could do. The football team the year before that was almost zero. There won no games. After Rev Wilson and Union Temple went over to speak to them, the next following year, them kids became the champions of the city in regards to the football game. You know, but this is the example of what Calvin was speaking of. The transformation of hearing great things, great men and women coming into these equations, making a difference. And we are here. We are in the spirit of the Million Man March and UNIFESH. Yesterday, we launched the torch, passing the torch. And you ought to saw how we were in love and the spirit was moving over Union Temple as we ran through the southeast area to some of the most historical areas over there. We had the torch passing. The kids was running with us. It was just a celebration. And when we got back to the church, You ought to saw the love that was there. The love and the spirit of who we were. We are in the spirit of the Million Man March and Unifest because the spirit of love is the one greatest symbol that shows unity among us as a people. I'm excited and extraordinarily looking for it. And after we left there, Reverend Wilson, after we left from over the torch current, we went over to the Alliance of Concerned Men's office. And Roche Brown and Latasha Thompson Bayell, we recorded our particular position of the returning citizens. What our spirit was going to be in the time that we're going to have on the stage over Saturday at the Indian Temple Church. And the last thing I would say in regards to that, we are looking at shaping our agenda, not just for Saturday, but going forward, we're going to combine committees. We're going to do after work that's going to help to sustain it. And the concept that we're going to be presenting is the attack on our youth, loving our neighbor, getting that hatred, that animosity out of our communities so we can build together and show the world who we are. And family reunification, that's the piece that we're looking at. Family reunification, how did we bring our family together?
Thank you for calling in, Todd. We appreciate it. You know, one of the things he just hit on, Rev and Calvin, is that we have a breakdown amongst ourselves and our community. And one of the things I've been telling folks, our house is on fire, and you go next door, knock on the door, and the guy says, I don't bother me, mess with you. Joker, the house is on fire. It ain't about bothering me. The house is on fire. Come on out. He won't even come out because I don't bother you. I don't mess with you. That kind of jiggy boogie has to stop. Our lives, our future, our career, everything is on stake, our families. So for what Calvin, you were doing, and man, you are inspiration because you was a returning citizen and you're an elected official in PG County, and you're rolling and you're making waves and you're getting things done. Reverend Wilson is an inspiration. So we got folk, Tyrone Parker, you Mr. Al Malik. We got people who's been doing this for years and don't get paid a dime, but they do it because it's in their heart. And what you're doing, Calvin, in terms of bringing people together, you and I have our little thing, but that ain't the issue. This is bigger than everything we talked about. This is our family, our community, and if we don't come together to save us, who else going to save us? So I want to thank everybody who's making donations and contributions. And in order for us to stay on the air, as Reverend Wilson said, it's just a matter of time before they come to us. That old saying, he came to my neighbor and I didn't say nothing. He came the next night and got the next neighbor. Then he came for me in the morning and was nobody there. People, we got to stand up.
If they got Cash App, they can do $WPFWFM. So people, that's real simple. $WPFWFM. That's what I did with mine yesterday. And I'm hoping that everybody is listening. If you ain't got for $10, do it. If you ain't got do it. Do it right now because Roach about to cry on this broadcast because he ended up falling in.
We got a couple more people to thank. Good. People are listening to y'all. They're coming up and stepping up to the plate. Thank you, Beverly from Washington, D.C. for stepping up to the plate. Thank you, Lydia from Washington, D.C. from stepping up to the plate. Lydia also says, love you, Roach. Okay, Martine, better watch out. Lydia says, love you, Roach. She says she'll also be at Al Malik's anniversary on October 26th. And she challenges all Howard alumni to donate to WPFW now. Reverend Wilson said, Cash App, WPFW on the website, WPFWFM. You know, y'all got it. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. You know, the person who founded WPFW when it went on the air in 1977, its last FM signal, he said he believed that people would pay for what they believe in. Y'all, we believe in WPFW. We believe in the programming it brings, like the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March and all the programming in terms of the genocide and Gaza and indigenous people and all like that. Support the station that has supported us all of these years. You know, back to you, Roach.
Go ahead. I just want to say, Calvin, you got it. What is it you want to say to our listeners, Calvin, who did get him up there for the 18th at the Fairmont Heights High School?
I'm saying if we come out and come together, we will make a difference.
Yes.
Our whole commitment is to Black people in Prince George's County becoming awoke, staying awoke, and being a part of the bigger challenge facing Black America, and that is to overcome the challenges of what Trump is placing on us. We didn't come this far in faith and to turn back now. And Roach, you spoke about the fire, your neighbor's house is on fire, he goes next door. That's like Dr. King's talk about the knock at midnight. In scripture says, trouble me not, my family's in bed, leave me alone, I can't help you. When you have that kind of mindset, it destroys our society.
Yes, yes.
We have work to do. And again, I want you all to know, and I don't want you to think I'm starry-eyed, but I'm grateful, humble, and appreciative. The work of a Reverend Willie Wilson, Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the late Myron Berry, they set the stage for where we are now. And we can't let the clocks turn back because we've become passive about what's happening around us. And with that, I'm just ready to stay on the battlefield.
And you're,
let me just say something about that battlefield, if I may, because, you know, we're rocking and rolling. We got another donation from Anonymous. Come on, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going so that we can actually totally and completely surpass our goal at the end of this show. Let's keep it going. 1-800-222-9739, 202-588-9739. I am excited. Yes, yes, we can do this. Crossroads, 17 years with Roach and Martine. Back to you, Roach.
You know, Crossroads was designed to address the issues of the returning citizens and those impacted by the injustice system. And all of us in the Black community are impacted by the criminal justice system. 7 out of every 10 Black males have a criminal record, conviction, or been arrested. That's 7 out of 10. And the other 3 has brothers, sisters, cousins, wives, and friends are getting phone calls and sending money orders back to institutions. So the prison system impact us totally. Our whole community is impacted directly or indirectly. So folks, this is for us. This is for you, your sons. And I'm so hurt that there's a big assault all across the country on Black and brown youth. They're lowering the penalty. They're taking the court as adults. They're talking about increasing. I just had a guy, I remember the other day, he did 57 years. He went into 22 years. He went into 17 years old. He did 57 years. And they asked him, what's your job prospects? He never had a job. He don't know what to do. And these men and women need emergency assistance, jobs, houses, and we got the programs that can do it. And again, we got the horses. We got men ready to go into the mouth of the fire, the belly of the beast, but they can't even afford to ride the bus to get over there to attack the beast, to deal with the beast. And when they get there, they ain't got no money to get back. Now, bro, go ahead.
Bro, I just want you to know, I said it earlier, Reverend Wilson has given us the game plan. We may not have all the resources now, but with the men you know and all the respect you have in our community, even if we just take a few of the schools and start working.
Yes, yes.
Number one. And you know, Tyrone said what he said, but when Reverend Wilson said every one of those students showed up, that tells you it's not that they are out of touch. We're disconnected. And there are individuals like Reverend Wilson, you and I, who can talk to these individuals, and they'll show up. These young people will show up. So that's what I, like I said, that's my commitment, Roach, after hearing Reverend Wilson say what he said last week. That's what Calvin Hawkins.
Give me the address where your event is, Calvin, for Saturday.
Over at Fairmont Heights High School in Fairmont Heights, Maryland. I don't know the exact address, but it's
6501 Columbia Park Road, 6501.
Well, we're going to have Senator Angela Alsobrooks, County Exec, and Aisha Braveboy. Honestly, and Coral Masters Berry probably can get the senator there. I want them to come with me to the Epic Center, Southeast, because there's something about coming to Southeast. You feel it. You don't just Black people, we feel. You'll feel it, and you'll leave there more committed than ever. That's my view.
Okay, thank you. Rev, we got 1 minute left, Rev. Go ahead and
all, right. All roads lead to Southeast, just like Calvin just said. We start at 9 o'clock. on Saturday morning. I'm hoping that everybody who's listening will come on out there. It's going to be great. We're going to have a little bit of our culture. We got go-go music. We got gospel music. But more important than that, we got all these organizations. We got the Divine Nine, all the fraternities and sororities. We got the religious community. We got returning citizens. We got community organizations, Anticosta Coordinating Council, Far South Sea Collaborative, all of us coming together just to do one thing, atone and unify. And when we do that, the sky is the limit to what we can do.
The sky is the limit. I just want to say, Rose, you surpassed the goal. Watch Rose surpass his goal. For, thank you, everyone who donated, all of the anonymouses, Catherine, Beverly, Lydia, everyone who contributed to Crossroads. Keep it up. We got a couple more weeks of fundraising, you know, to go. So I just want to say congratulations. Thank you, Reverend Wilson. Thank you, Calvin Hawkins, for helping to make that happen.
And thank both of y'all. And please, people, show up to 1225 W Street, as well as Calvin Hawkins event, Saturday, October's Our Future. We can't do it without you. And thank you for tuning in to Crossroads. We appreciate you, and we'll see you both. We need good trouble to make our life better. Thank you for tuning in to Crossroads. Go ahead, Calvin.
Oh, no, I'm just waving goodbye.
What? Is that how you wave? I'm going to wave with Tell It to the Hat, man.
Wake up all the teachers. Time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up. And the world.
The Birchmere presents Keiko Matsui, November 2nd, and Macy Gray, November 5th. Details at birchmere.com.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
Award-winning former police officer and criminal justice adjunct professor Garland Nixon hosts News Views Fridays at 6 p.m. Tune in to hear a refreshing angle on today's state of affairs and other issues other media intentionally overlook. Find the episodes on iTunes Podcast and Google Play Music. Only on your station for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM, Washington.
Hey, DC, we're reigniting the spirit of unity in our community beginning Monday, October 13th through Saturday, October 19th, by commemorating the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March and Unifest, two iconic events that shaped our history and continue to inspire our future. Events include prayer calls, a torch run, a lantern peace walk, a recommitment service, and a mini Unifest at Union Temple Baptist Church. This is an opportunity to honor the past and build bridges for a united future for our children and families, reviving the values of the Million Man March and Unifest. Details at UnionTempleDC.com.
This is Rev Yearwood, and I am so excited to announce our new climate show, Think 100% Climate Friday. This show will keep you up to date on everything climate justice related in a rapidly changing world. We will discuss breaking news and updates on environmental issues, the climate crisis, COVID-19, and politics. This show will make tangible how the climate crisis is already impacting our lives and what you can do about it. So tune in every Friday at 9 o'clock a.m. right here on WPFW 89.3, your Jazz and Justice station.
Attention all parents and youth in the Washington, D.C. area. Looking for a creative, inspiring after-school program? The Word Speeds and Life Academy in Columbia Heights fall session begins September 22nd. For ages 8 to 18, we offer classes in poetry, DJing, graffiti art, college prep, and more. Elementary classes are Mondays and Tuesdays, with youth and young adults on Wednesdays, 3:30 to 6 p.m. Located at 1525 Newton Street Northwest in Columbia Heights, starting September 22nd. It's the Words, Beats, and Life After School Academy. More info at wblinc.org/academy.
All right.
The Can I Kick It outdoor summer movie series presented by Shaolin Jazz is back and is coming to Southeast DC for the first time ever. Enjoy three nights of martial arts and action films scored live with hip-hop, soul, and more, mixed by WPFW alum DJ Two-Tone Jones. Then on Saturday, October 25th, the series concludes with the screening of I'm Gonna Get You Sucker at the Capitol Hill Boys Club Artist Gallery. Each event begins at 7 p.m. with a guest DJ set, followed by the movie at 8:30 p.m. Blankets and lawn chairs are welcome. For more details, visit ShaolinJazz.com. S-H-A-O-L-I-N-J-A-Z.